Ezekiel Elliott. And he's got an opening. Elliott off to the races. Can they catch him? No, they can't. Touchdown.
Tie a 3-0 win at Sylvester for three. Oh! Oh! With 5.1 to go.
Here's Fields with time in the end zone.
A single season record of 14 set by Vernon Golston in 2000.
8 seconds to go. Kraft with Paolo defending. Now a switch off. He's got Niang on him with three. He better hurry. Puts up the shot. And he hits it with 0.2 seconds to go. Wow.
Inbounds Turner, left side of the backcourt. Turner across the timeline, throws it from high on the right.
He hit it just inside of half court.
They go for the ball game. Touchdown! Michael Jenkins on 4th and 1. Would you believe it? Craig Krenzel strikes with 1.5 minutes left. Holy Buckeye!
This is the Bunch of Nuts podcast featuring Dan Smith and Big Cass. Let's get nutty!
Hello and welcome back to the biggest episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast to date. Ohio State set to play Alabama Monday, January 11th. And we have a big guest on this episode. We have Logan, a reasonable Alabama fan, as Cass put it. Logan, it's great to have you on the show. How are you feeling about the big game, man?
Well, I appreciate you having me. Honestly, I have a really good feeling about the game on Monday. I feel like it's going to be a lot closer than what people expect it to be. I mean, you got two good teams in Alabama and Ohio State, both. Alabama, obviously, we've got Mac Jones, Najee Harris, Devontae Smith, even possibly Jalen Waddle returning. So you got a whole good core going there on our side. And then for Ohio State, I mean, you guys got Justin Fields, Trey Sermon, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson. It's pretty much even on each side. And looking at statistics, too, everything's pretty much even when you go and look at the statistics for both teams. So, honestly, I think it's going to be a really good game. And I feel like it might be anywhere between a 3-point to 7-point game. So, I feel like it'll be really close.
They're calling this game the King of the South versus the King of the North. By far, it's obviously the truth. When you're looking at Alabama, Ohio State, you can throw Clemson in there. I throw Oklahoma in there. I'm probably the only one that could throw Oklahoma in there. The four most consistent programs in college football. And I know a lot of people wanted Alabama and Clemson, but in a COVID year like this, no better way to solidify and probably get the highest ratings in national championship history. I'm going to say history because you're seeing the biggest story programs in college football go at it for the national championship for the first time. Believe it.
Yeah.
That's amazing to think that this is the first time that Alabama and Ohio State will be meeting for the national championship for the first time.
Right. And it's funny because everyone knows that there's history between both of our teams. It's not a high record that with how many meetings that we've had, but given the history, this being the first time that we've met for the national championship, as you said, I think it's really going to draw in a lot of ratings because, as you said, Kings of the North versus Kings of the South, basically. And I know I've been waiting for this rematch for 7 years, and a lot of other Alabama fans and Ohio State fans have too, because as it's gone on since 2014, the teams have gotten a lot better with recruiting and everything else that they've gone through over those past 7 years, bringing in some of the best players in the nation to compete and be in the highest level of the sport. So it's definitely going to be probably one of the highest viewed games this year and probably in the past decade.
And you bring up obviously the 2014, 2015 season where Ohio State defeated Alabama at the Sugar Bowl. I mean, Logan, from your perspective, do you see, you know, them using that as motivation, or has kind of, you know, statute of limitations kind of passed and it's still kind of too far in the past? Or is it, you know, is it something that's firing these guys up in Tuscaloosa?
Honestly, I think it could go both ways just because of the fact that everyone since 2014, 2015 has moved on, and a lot of them are in the NFL now. But also, too, that being a part of our program's history that we had that loss back then, I think it still lingers, and they use that as like a secondary motivation. But also, too, I think it's kind of let bygones be bygones with it being 7 years since then. But the fire is still there just because these are the top two teams, and obviously we can only have one winner. So I think they're going to use that as motivation for sure.
I like what Nick Saban said the other day, and saying, I think it was Nick Saban, I might be wrong, saying that you don't have to get this game. You don't need extra motivation for the national championship,
no,
regardless of who's playing in this game or not. I think more you go back to if Alabama would use this as advantage, I think more for the fans would use this as an advantage because these players were freshmen, sophomores maybe in high school, unless you're Devontae Smith, some of the seniors that are on this team that were being recruited. So you could also see some of these guys that were being recruited as sophomores and juniors from Alabama using it as a motivation. But, you know, I think it's more for the fans, especially, you know, in my family. I have some family that lives in Georgia. My uncle, he lives 2 hours from Clemson, an hour and a half from Georgia, married a diehard Alabama fan. He's born and raised here in Ohio, so he's a Buckeye fan. So I think this game is, when it comes to the 2015 Sugar Bowl, this game is more for the fans when using it than the players. These players are going to be jacked up regardless. I mean, you're getting the top two recruiting classes in America for the past two of the top four recruiting classes every year. So these guys, like Mac Jones said, he played 7-on-7 with Sean Wade. So it's going to be a lot of, in high school, it's going to be a lot of fun for these players. I think it's going to be different viewed as a fans for a height for getting that revenge than the players.
Right. No, I totally agree with you on that. I kind of look at it as you said, for the fans, especially with this year and the whole COVID situation coming up, making it to where a lot of fans couldn't go to the games because a lot of states had limited capacities or even no fans at all. But I really think that, like you said, it is for the fans pretty much, but we'll just have to see how it turns out because I know they're allowing limited capacity there at the national title game in Miami. So I think we'll still get a pretty good turnout regardless.
Logan, are you concerned at all? Because we typically see this sometimes. I'm not saying it's going to happen to Alabama, but tonight we just watched the College Football Awards show and Alabama absolutely clean. They took the show. They took, I think, at least 4 or 5 awards. I count Mac Jones, Najee Harris, Devontae Smith won about every award. Steve Sarkisian won some awards. Leatherwood won an award. Are you worried that they might get distracted because of that? Or are they going to be laser focused? I mean, how do you feel about that they took home all those awards?
I know it's been kind of an issue in the past, like going into certain bowl games, whether it's in the CFP or not. I know sometimes it's gotten some of the players that won the awards for us that it distracted them to a point, and it kind of felt like it made them have an off game during the bowl games. But I feel like this year, with everything going on, especially because I watched Devontae Smith's press conference the other day after he won the Heisman, he was saying that like he had all these questions asked about how he felt about winning the Heisman. He's like, I don't really care about winning the Heisman. He's like, it's a great accomplishment for me as an individual. But right now we're laser focused on the Ohio State game for the national title. So I feel like this year is a lot different.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Nick Saban has had them laser focused on this especially kind of given how last year went for us, losing two games and unfortunately having to play Michigan, which was just it was a beatdown.
That was a great game.
About them beatdowns.
I know you guys probably appreciated that. At least we come together on another common enemy like we do against Clemson.
You're absolutely right. And so let's talk about the game. How do you think Alabama is going to attack this Ohio State defense? I mean, a lot of people are saying that our secondary can be suspect, especially with going up against you guys got, the bazookas you guys got at wide receiver. Ohio State doesn't give up anything deep. So how do you think Mac Jones and this offense is going to attack, knowing that Ohio State just held Travis Etienne to 37-yard rushing?
Yeah. Now, I know Ohio State definitely had a lot of motivation going into that game against Clemson, especially because of how Dabo came out and was just kind of running his mouth saying that he didn't think Ohio State was deserving. He ranked them as number 11th. I feel like that was motivation enough to get them pretty ready for that game. So, but looking to our game on Monday, I feel like the way that we might end up attacking it, Najee, I feel, as even unbiased, I feel like he's a lot better than ATN. Because I've always kind of seen
Travis tackles, I would say.
Yeah, I was gonna say I've also kind of seen Travis Etienne as more of like a receiving back.
Yeah,
and Alvin Kamara type.
Yeah,
he's definitely Alvin Kamara type for sure. But with Najee kind of being dual threat, where he can run for sure, as everyone's seen this year and last year too, being able to be a pass catching back and being able to get through the line like he does. I feel like it might give Ohio State a little bit of a problem, but the way the front seven's been playing the last two games that I saw of your guys's, it'll be an interesting matchup because with Haskell Garrett, Tommy Togiai, Tyreek Smith, Jonathan Cooper, they are a really tough front four, even on that defensive line. And then your guys' linebackers with Warner, Borland, and Justin Hilliard, that's a scary enough front seven as it is. So it's going to be a good matchup. When it comes to the secondary, though, the only thing that I would be kind of worried about, as everyone else is probably seeing too, is Sean Wade. I know he's normally used as a slot corner, but putting him out on the perimeter, he's kind of been exposed a little bit. And you saw that against Cornell Powell against Clemson too. But I know you guys also have Seven Banks, who he's a young guy still learning, just kind of like how we have some young guys on our defense too that are still learning. But you guys got Seven Banks, Josh Proctor, that I think it'll be a good learning experience for him. But just with the amount of weapons that we have, I feel like it might confuse him a little bit. And then maybe after halftime, it probably changes up a little bit.
Speaking of weapons, what's your take on if we're going to see Jaylen Waddle? I personally think they're going to play him. I don't see why he wouldn't play, to be honest. Because if you think about it, I feel like if he definitely was going to play, they would have announced it by now. I feel like Saban just playing his cards right and not announcing anything. Because that worst case scenario, he's going to force Ohio State to prepare for it. But I think Waddle's a guy who would want to come back and play, because I believe he hasn't won a national championship with Bama yet. He was there a year later after they won their most recent one. And yeah. And I mean, they could use him for dummy routes. That's what I think. They'll have him run deep. I wouldn't be shocked if he caught one bomb, like a 70-yard bomb against us. But, I mean, I think he's playing, but I just want to get your take on that.
Yeah, I honestly agree with you on that, Dan. Just because of everything I've seen, like when Tua got hurt, they didn't expect him to play last year against LSU because of his high ankle sprain and how he recently had surgery. Nick Saban even said then that Tua was a game-time decision. But everyone was like, oh, no, is he going to play or are we going to start Mac Jones? What's going to happen? Well, as long as I've seen Nick Saban coaching, especially over the last 5 to 6 years, anytime a big-name player like that gets hurt and they're not sure if he's going to play whenever they're cleared to return, 98% of the time they end up playing. So, honestly, I think Waddle's going to end up being in the game.
How much of a factor do you think he's going to be? I think Waddle's going to be. He may be there for. He might get a couple catches, but I don't think he's going to be much of a factor. I think the other receivers are going to be a lot more effective. I think just, you know, yeah, he's practicing, but in a game like this, what's his game? How's he gonna feel? I mean, I know he's gonna be jacked up, like, conditioning wise and like stuff like that. I mean, it's Miami. It could be 80 degrees and humid as hell.
Yeah. I mean, really, when it comes to the conditioning part of it, I think he'd probably be okay. I know during his rehab that we just recently redone our like rehab facility and sports medicine facility there at the university. Yeah, I know he's been working a lot too with a strength and conditioning coach trying to come back to this. And really, it just kind of depends on how much he's been doing, just due to the fact that a lot of people heal different. So, I mean, he could be fully healthy, and obviously Nick Saban just isn't going to come out and say that he's fully healthy. But also, too, looking at how much of a factor he could be, I really think that he'll probably be a decoy for a lot of routes. So if he's out there on the field, he'll probably just set up like a decoy for either John Mechie, Jaleel Billings, or Devontae.
Yeah.
But I know he'll probably get some of the shots, too, because if he's able to make a move and get downfield, or if he's open, then I feel like he'll get his shots, but at the same time, I feel like I said, he'll be more of a decoy more than anything.
You can keep him. I mean, you don't have to play him the full game. You just keep him on a pitch count, I feel like. As long as he gets, I think he can get like 30 snaps. That might be too much, 20, 30 snaps. That's plenty for him because, I mean, you have Slade Bolden who, I mean, he hasn't lit the world on fire, but every game I've watched, I'm like, wow, that guy, he's making some crafty catches. They could use him for the majority of the run blocking too, and just, you know, whenever he needs a blow, Waddle. And I mean, I don't see why Waddle won't play. I haven't heard one really valid argument. And everyone's saying, oh, the injury factor. Well, I mean, if he sits it, there's still gonna be questions prior to the draft about, well, how did he recover? If he goes out and plays, you can actually see, okay, he's recovered now. Like, his draft stock won't fall probably as much. So I think he's going to want to give it a shot, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, for sure. The only thing I would really say, like, once he gets in, the one thing I would really be kind of concerned about is, like, say if they were to run, like, a jet sweep and have him come across. I know Ohio State's front seven is pretty good about getting off the line. And if they get into the backfield and one wrong move, it could hurt him again, but you never know because, like I say, a lot of people will heal different, but it's just something that we'll have to wait and see Monday how it plays out. But as you said, for how many snaps he gets and the snap count, that was kind of my guess. It was about 20 to 30, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, let's switch sides of the ball now. Besides Trey Sermon, Olave, Garrett Wilson, and Justin Fields, who in Ohio State's offense could be an X factor to attack your guys' defense? I mean, we had some great tight end play against Clemson, but who's someone that kind of concerns you on Ohio State's offense outside of those guys? Because we know that, like, just like Smith, you know, maybe Watt, Najee, they're going to do their things. It's going to be just like Ohio State. Fields, Olave, Garrett Wilson, Sermon, they're going to do their things because that's how great they are. Who scares you in Ohio State's offense that everybody should think about?
In all honesty, I would have to say it's kind of a two-way tie with an honorable mention. I would say the two that really kind of scare me against our defense, I would have to say probably be Jeremy Rucker and Farrell, because our defense the last 2 to 3 years hasn't been very good against tight ends. Now, against Notre Dame, they had Michael Mayer, but Notre Dame, they, from what I've seen this year, they were kind of the hit and miss offense. They had their good games and they had their bad games. But we've pretty much taken Michael Mayer out of the equation that entire game against Notre Dame. But from what I saw from Farrell and Rucker, I would have to say they would probably be the two that would kind of make me worry a little bit, just because I know they are dynamic tight ends, and our defense, especially our linebackers, haven't been very good against good tight ends. Because Dylan Moses, if you'd seen how he played against Notre Dame, there was maybe one or two times that he didn't get called for it, but anytime he got close to the tight end, he got called for holding. Because we got beat. So I would say that probably Rucker and Farrell would be the two that I'm most worried about. And then honorable mention, I'd probably say it'd probably be Smith and Jigba, because they can line him up in the slot. They can line him up out on the perimeter. And we haven't really seen a whole lot from him besides that toe tap and a few other plays against Clemson and some other teams. But I feel like he's one that they haven't used a whole lot that they could probably use to kind of throw us off.
Logan, who on that defense is going to be the anchor of that line? Who's that one guy that Ohio State fans should worry about, you know, breaking through the line of scrimmage consistently and wrecking, you know, our passing game and our run game?
Now, that's a tough one, but I would say the two that I would probably look most forward at would probably be Will Anderson and Christopher Allen, our defensive ends, because okay. – Even as younger guys, freshman and sophomore, they've been pretty consistent about being able to get off blocks on the edge and even giving, like, running backs and quarterbacks consistent pressure. I wouldn't say I would worry too much, just because DJ Dale kind of seems like he hasn't really found his rhythm yet.
The fact that they're younger guys, like, on the defensive line, does that worry you at all? Because – against Clemson, we saw it. Ohio State's offensive line, they're so much older. They're so much more experienced. They push. And Brian Breesy and, you know, all Clemson's five-star young players, they're great and everything. But when you're playing against grown men like Wyatt Davis, Josh Myers, basically the entire offensive line other than our one guard spot, who it might now be also Paris Johnson, because I heard he might be getting some reps now. But – I mean, does that concern you, the fact that they're so much younger, or do you think, you know, Saban will have them ready?
I think he'll have them ready to a certain extent, because we played Florida, who their line, they were pretty much together the last 3 or 4 years themselves. And I mean, you saw how we struggled against Florida too, but let's say we played, I think, 3 or 4 teams in the SEC this year that had veteran lines. We didn't have too much of a trouble against, but I don't think it's anything compared to like what Ohio State has, just due to the fact that Ryan Day and Urban Meyer both kind of molded them into the system. They've been together for a long time. They know how to work together. I think it'll be an interesting matchup, but I would have to give the slight advantage to Ohio State's O-line on this.
Okay.
Logan, we know who you're going to pick. And we thank you for coming on again. I know you and I talk gradually throughout the year. You know, we do some trash talking, but not enough to, you know, have a little rivalry between us. But we know who you're going to pick, and because you're, you know, obviously Alabama. But what's your score prediction for this game?
I've been thinking about this quite a bit. I would say at first I was thinking somewhere around 34 to 31, but I would say once I finally came to the conclusion that my final prediction would probably be
38-34. Alrighty. I mean, I have a little higher, but obviously I won't reveal until later in the show when we, you know, when we finish our show. Logan, man, it's always a pleasure to talk to another OMS grad. Fellow Bengal fan, at least we got that together.
Yep.
I know, switching gears a little bit, but thoughts on Joe Burrow's interview he had today with Colin Cowherd, and how he's already are you on pace to be playing at training camp? Like, are you excited about that?
Oh, I'm definitely excited. I mean, granted, we didn't have the greatest year, but I mean, we still have a lot of young guys who are still just coming into the league, trying to get their feet wet, just trying to see how everything goes in the league once you're coming in. But the way that Burrow played before he got injured showed me that there's definitely flashes of excellence soon to come, probably within the next 2 or 3 years. So I would say that it's definitely going to be an interesting ride, and I'm excited to see him get back out there.
Absolutely. Well, Logan, enjoy the game. Fortunately for us, we hope the Buckeyes win. Enjoy the game, man. I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right. You have a good one.
Thanks for coming on, Logan.
Yeah, you guys have a good one.
You have a great one.
That was my buddy Logan, and he's a good dude. I told you he's reasonable. He's a reasonable Bama fan.
Very, very reasonable. I think he gave pretty good fair takes, broke down everything. I mean, obviously we're going to be picking the Buckeyes in this one, but Cass, man, I've been waiting all day. I literally wrote down a monologue. yeah. Like that was a great interview. Now the show begins. I wrote down a monologue, and I wanted to open up the show with this, but here we are. Great interview. Thanks for coming on, Logan. I want to begin with this, though. Alabama beat Notre Dame 31-14. All right. Clemson beat them 31-10.
31-17.
31-10.
I mean, 31-7. I mean, they gave them a cheap touchdown.
Garbage. Yeah. You get the point. And yeah, that was Clemson's full team. We're not talking about – I'm talking about, you know, full team, neutral site, not none of this, no Trevor Lawrence at away. That's – no, 31-10, Clemson beat them. Ohio State beats Clemson 49-28. So I ask you, Cass, why is Ohio State the underdog? Where did this come from? Prior to the season, we were ranked higher than Bama, man. We were literally ranked higher before the season got canceled by Kevin Warren and all this stuff. We had a higher preseason ranking. It just shows you that these rankings are ridiculous. We saw this when Oklahoma smashed Florida. We've seen this all through bowl season. I just know Ryan Day has his team locked in, man. I just know we're going to beat them. I was worried at first, but then Kristen, or I like to call her Karen Saban happened, man. And this is what she said. And this really lit the fuel under my fire between today and watching the award show. This has lit a fuel probably under me. I know under Buckeye Nation. I know Haskell Garrett's feeling disrespected. But let me read Karen Saban's statement.
She's a Karen.
She's a Karen. If you're not confident to play, then say it. I call BS on the COVID cases. They're just being worried about their QB and don't want him to have more time to heal. If he's hurt, put in your backup. You didn't see us postpone the rest of the season to wait for Waddle. Bye, Karen Saban. So apparently, Karen, player safety only matters with COVID. Not if our quarterback has injured ribs. No one cares about that. That's the whole hypocrisy of all this. It's if you test positive for COVID, you're feeling fine, you're done. But you could have shattered ribs, bone fragments in your kidneys, piss and blood, and it's like, well, you should play with your backup. Well, okay, that's fine. We'll play with C.J. Stroud. We'll play with Cardale Jones. We'll play with anyone. We'll beat you again with our third string. It's just Karen Saban has lit a fire under me. In between watching Alabama clean up on every award show, I think I saw Wyatt Davis nominated for.
They won 9 awards, by the way.
Yeah, it was the fucking Alabama show. I'm sorry, I'm cursing on this. That's my rule. I get one curse word per episode, but it was the fucking Alabama show, and it was just the dumbest thing ever. It was so dumb. I know that all our guys are sitting at home right now. They're jacked up. They're preparing for this game. They feel disrespected.
Drinking
Pedialyte, eating bananas, and the PB&Js are doing great. I just know we're going to beat them now. I'm more confident than ever. But, man, I had to get that off my chest because I've been waiting all week to let this rant air.
You're absolutely right, man. We are being still disrespected. Yeah, there's a report that – you know, that's not as bad as Atlanta. I mean, we're not going to talk about the rankings, but we're 7-point underdog, probably more than that now.
7.5.
7.5. So we knock off Clemson big time, and all of a sudden we're back to being disrespected again by the coach's daughter. Granted, is Bama themselves disrespecting us? No. Not at all. But I still feel disrespected because Ohio State is out to prove something. We've only the fans. If you go around Bead, every ESPN respect. The game is Monday. Fox Sports, CBS, all of the national championships Monday. The fans. Do you think the players do not read the tweets and the Facebook comments? What else are they doing in their dorm rooms? They're reading this stuff. They know Sean Wade is being the most disrespected player right now.
I hope, man, Sean Wade's a guy. He had kind of a rough game against Clemson. I rewatched the film. The film actually in the second half, it was kind of ugly. I'm not gonna lie. But Sean Wade, man, I just want to get into this. Like, Sean Wade is 6'1", 195 pounds. Devonta Smith, he's 6'1", 174 pounds. All I'm saying is Sean Wade should be able to bully him because he is 20 pounds heavier. So if he gets up in his face where he thrives in press man, and I know Alabama loves those short routes. It's how their whole offense is predicated. Now, obviously, Devontae Smith, they also use him in punt return. They can move him. He's dynamic. Don't get me wrong. They will use him not just only as a receiver. They'll find ways to get that guy the ball. But you're telling me Sean Wade can't bully this guy around. I know Devontae Smith, you know, was talking about how he doesn't like to get bullied. And, you know, he out-muscles guys. But Sean Wade's 20 pounds heavier than him. Sean Wade's one of the best corners in America. He's an NFL talent. He's a first-round pick. I don't care what anyone says. He's due for a big game. I know he's going to lock down Devonta Smith. I know he's going to have a Duran Grant-type performance where he's going to hold Devonta Smith to probably like under 60 yards. He might score a touchdown or two on like some short little end zone route. But I truly believe Sean Wade is going to have a great game. I'm really concerned about Najee Harris. 6'2", 230 pounds. He's 4 inches taller. 25 pounds heavier than Travis Etienne. Can still catch it out of the backfield, man. I know we kind of talked about this with Logan. The way they use, I think, Najee Harris, they love to get him in the screen game, wheel route, just these weird plays that if our linebackers aren't flying to the ball, which luckily our linebackers are freaking studs. They're studs. I think Hilliard and Warner, this is their game.
Here's why I don't think I'm not concerned about Najee Harris. Our front seven is the front seven Alabama is going to face since Clemson's front seven, Deshaun Watson and the Clemson Tigers beat them, or when Trevor Lawrence and the Clemson Tigers beat them. This front seven is physical, fast, gets to the point of the attack, and they're hungry. That's why I'm not concerned about Najee Harris. Devontae Smith, I am concerned because he's going to do his thing. I'm not concerned what Sean Wade is going to do against him. I'm more concerned if our secondary tackling. If our secondary can tackle, because
that's huge.
Mac Jones doesn't throw the ball over 10 yards very often.
He doesn't. But what concerns
me. Tom Brady.
What concerns me is, though, that kind of plays into what our defense gives up. I feel like he's going to eat us alive if we give up all this underneath stuff. I feel like we want to not give up the underneath stuff now and make him go deep on us. It's almost counterintuitive to what Carey runs. Because if we run, like, if Carey plays these guys 7 yards off the ball, 10 yards off the ball, he's going to quick little dink and dunk to D. Smith, and then he's going to run. Even if Sean Wade tackles him, he might get 5-7 yards, and they're going to gouge us.
That's what Clemson did against us. We kept everything underneath, and we made some surefire tackles. We got to do that again. And
we got to tackle. Tackling's
basically key. That's it. Tackling.
I'm not gonna lie. You're absolutely right.
There's nobody on that Alabama defense that I'm scared of at all. There's good Jordan Battle. Think about it. Some of these players were recruited with Jordan Battle when all of a sudden he decided to flip to Alabama late. So there's got to be some saltiness to this offense, Chris Olave,
yeah,
Garrett Wilson, all the guys that he was Jordan Battle. And there's no Patrick Surtain. Yeah, he's good. He's very good. Who in the SEC has been elite wide receiver? They didn't have Jamar Chase. They didn't have Justin Jefferson. They let Ole Miss, and Kyle Pitts destroyed them.
They've given up over 40 points twice this year. Ohio State hasn't given up more than 35 to, and that was against Indiana. That's the highest they've given up all season, 35.
Even,
so even
George Pickens had a great first half against them.
Stetson Bennett throwing.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Patrick Surtain's a, you got two of the elite All-American corners, Patrick Surtain and Sean Wade. My thing is, if he plays, he's 100%. There's no damn well he's not 100%. He's going to play. Yeah, he's probably going to play. But Ohio State's weapons are – there's more Ohio State weapons than there is Alabama. Don't get me wrong. Alabama has some studs.
I truly believe we're going to blow their defensive line off the ball.
We have the best offensive line, and my firm belief we have the best quarterback in the country.
I'm not concerned offensively, bro. I know offensively we're going to put up points. I'll tell you right now. I have us putting up 56 points this game. I think we drop a 50 burger on them. I have a strong premonition we're going to go off on offense, cuz that defensive line's weak. We got Josh Myers, we got just a stud offensive line, man. It's not even going to be close, I think, on the defensive line.
Coach
Stud needs a raise.
We have two great – this is the thing. Florida had one good tight end. We have two. We have three good wide receivers. We have a great running back. We get Master T probably comes back. We're loaded, man. I'd like to see Justin Fields run the ball, but we may not have to. What guys can control the clock and keep that offense off the field? I have Ohio State scoring 45 points, by the way.
I like that. The biggest question is going to be Toki and Tyreek Smith.
The rumor's true.
I don't know if the rumors are true or not. It's everyone's airing this out. They've got Dan Patrick, Surratt saying that the game might even get moved. And then we have
Surratt needs to shut his mouth.
I love Surratt, but I don't know how reliable this source is.
I like him, but he needs to shut his mouth.
We got them reporting this. Austin Ward, Letterman Rowe, he's not reporting anything that out of the ordinary. I mean, Letterman Rowe, everyone, all the local sources saying everything's going to be fine. Buckeye Scoop today had that looks like they're going to do a final round. From my understanding, from what I read, you can go on Buckeye Scoop and read it yourself, but I'm paraphrasing that they're going to do another round of PCR testing on Friday, so it's an even playing field. So basically, Ohio State doesn't have to, Monday, we're not going to have Justin Fields pop test positive for a COVID test and miss the freaking national championship.
And that's the thing. This is going to be the first game Ohio State's going to be doing that.
Yeah. And I also like to point out that apparently with the PCR tests, that it's potential that Togiai and Smith, this is if they tested positive. They're going to test them again to see if they test negative, because then it will be a false positive, and then they should be able to play. This is all hypothetical, even if they – I don't even know if they tested positive to begin with, but this is all I'm hearing on message boards and everything. So
– even if those guys are out, Ohio State rotates defensive line. We've been hearing Matt Browning could get some snaps at the end.
I like it.
But we had Javonte Batiste. We have Zach Harrison. They could come back. Tyler Friday could come back.
I heard Tyler Friday's going to play. I mean, getting Zach Harrison, Tyler Friday, that would definitely mitigate the loss of Togiai and Smith.
And in Teron Vincent, it's finally time to show why you were a five-star athlete.
Yeah, it's the problem with Togiai getting beat. Like, I don't. It's not Tyreek Smith missing. I mean, he played. He absolutely played the best game of his career against Clemson. But I think
the Remington Award winner is out.
Yeah, there's Alabama center's out. I think they'll like Zach Harrison playing over Tyreek Smith is really not that bad of a drop off. It's about to say, because I think Zach Harrison has shown he could be a stud too at times. So I think he might be just as good as Tyreek Smith. It's really Togiai to me that would be the biggest loss in that defensive line, because it's, you know, we have that's our anchor, man. He's the strongest guy in college football. No one blows Togiai off the line. It's if you watch the Clemson game, he's getting double team, triple team, and just taking him, eating him. He doesn't get pushed back no matter what. And without Alabama center, it does kind of cancel out. But if we have Togiai and their backup center, I think that's a huge strength for the Buckeyes then. So it'll be interesting to see.
I think even if Togiai is out, I think having their center with the backup center having to block Haskell Garrett is going to be.
My question is, could you see a guy like Jonathan Cooper, maybe moving inside for a little bit, and we would have Browning maybe rush, Zach Harrison.
Just rotate the guys, man.
Yeah, Cooper and then Garrett on the inside, kind of like the Rushman package.
Yeah, just keep it in the inside. And the thing, too, is this game, people are saying, oh, we already won our Super Bowl. We got the revenge on Clemson. We won a natty. We won a natty. We fought. We went to the rally and said, we want a win to the national championship. Fortunately, we got to play Clemson first. We wanted to play Clemson for the national championship. But how many parents did we talk to that said, we want to play Bama and then beat Clemson? We want to play Bama and then beat Clemson. How many parents said that to us? Almost every single parent I talked to.
I think everyone said that. So, I mean, we're basically getting our wish. Cass, man, I mean,
two-story programs, man.
It's gonna be a game. I have the champagne ready. I have the champagne in the fridge. It's icing up right now. I'm not counting my chickens. I'm just saying the bottles are in the building. I'm ready to celebrate.
I'm not as confident as I was when we played Clemson.
No.
I'm pretty confident.
I'm confident. It's a nervous confidence, though. It's stuff's about to hit the fan confidence. This game is going to take 10 years off my life. I already know it's gonna be a good game. It might be like the ending of the 2019 Fiesta Bowl, except we might score the touchdown to win. It's gonna be a shootout like that. I think Fields might have a shot to win it at the end.
This is and thing about Fields is gonna play with his chip on his shoulder because he's gonna feel snubbed from the Heisman. So I know we both. Ohio State score. Let's give our score predictions now before we're going to do NFL version of Pick'em now that the playoffs are here.
I like it. All right. I got my score prediction for the game. I got Ohio State 56, like I said, Bama 48, absolute shootout. And I think Ohio State will have the lead late. And it's going to come down to an interception in the secondary. Bama's going to be down by 8 points because our defense, it's going to not break for like two drives. Saban's going to kick two field goals instead of touchdowns. We're going to capitalize and get touchdowns. And basically it's going to come down to Sean Wade, I think, is going to seal the deal with a game. National championship sealing interception. So I got 56-48 Buckeyes national champions.
I have 45-39 Ohio State.
I like it.
I don't know how it's going to finish. I just think 45-39 Ohio State.
Keys to victory, Cass. What are your keys?
Tackle.
Tackle.
Don't let Devontae Smith beat you downfield. Like, let him have all the underneath stuff all he wants. I don't care if Mac Jones goes for 500 yards, but only has two touchdowns, kind of like what Trevor Lawrence had. And just tackle, I know it's Najee Harris, but we held old boy Derrick Henry. We checked him down in 2014. I think we can do the same thing, the same game plan. Just keep everything in front of you. Don't get burnt deep and just tackle offensively. Just play your game. Just play your game.
I got established the defensive line of scrimmage. We got to just make sure Najee Harris isn't gashing us for seven, eight yards of pop up the gut. Can't have that. I think whoever's playing interior, Tough Borland, that's your job. Shut him down. Like, Tough Borland won Sugar Bowl defensive MVP. He might win this game's MVP if he can shut down Najee Harris. He's going to have to really bang heads with the best of them. My other key is we're not kicking field goals. Let's not kick. You said it last week, Cass, but after seeing Blake Hawbeil, he's a little injured, can't even do kickoffs. I don't trust him right now in the national championship game, unfortunately, just because you have to be at 100%. I don't want to rely on that unless it's absolutely necessary. So if we, you know, if it's fourth and three, fourth and four inside the 20, let's go for it. Let's not chuck up a field goal that I don't even know if he's going to make it or not, because he's not fully 100%. I hope he gets healthy. I hope he makes them, but I don't want to leave that up to chance. Our best player is Justin Fields. Let him rip it.
And if we do have to punt, let's get some great punts off Drew Chrisman.
Oh, he had that 67-yard punt that no one even talked about.
Right. Let's go. Beat Bama. We got Bama. Let's just beat them. Win the Natty. Win the Natty and shut everybody up. Even though if we do win the Natty, you're going to still hear, they only played 8 games. They didn't go through the gauntlet of the SEC. They didn't go through the gauntlet of COVID. I texted you the other day when everything started first coming out, and I said, dude, we've only played 6 regular season games, 7 games total. This season, just because of the scoop that we know from, you know, other media members, of people we know, our family and friends are coming at us like, what do you know? What do you know? I don't know how many Twitter DMs we get daily saying, what are you hearing? What are you hearing?
Get too many.
This, like, season.
They need to start subscribing to my channel. Like, they need to start paying me for this inside information.
Yeah. This season has been so exhausting. It feels like we've played 16 games this year. It really
does.
As much as I love football, nothing, and I want it to end, but I want it to win, holding that trophy, that there's a poster right in front of me of Ohio State holding that trophy. So,
absolutely.
45-39, that's my prediction. 56. What was yours? 56.
56-48. 48. All right.
We didn't do this for the bowl games because some bowl games got canceled. Some of them didn't. Some of them were stupid, like Duke's Mayo Bowl. So we're going to do the NFL edition of our stupid picks. And in my opinion, I think the NFL got these games wrong when it comes to the primetime in slots. But I'm going to read the games off. Saturday at 1 o'clock, Colts-Bills. That's going to be a good one.
Bills.
I've got the Bills winning too. Rams, I feel like they could have flipped this one to the primetime game.
Yeah.
Give me the Seahawks. I just think they're a little bit more well prepared. Their defense is playing a lot more, and they're only a 3.5-point favorite. But I feel DK Metcalf.
I feel like Russell Wilson. Yeah, I agree. Russell Wilson's going to go off. I don't mind the late one, Washington versus Tampa. I'm taking Washington. I think for some reason they're going to do – I think Chase Young's going to have a great day. That defense line's legit. That defense is legit. I think they're going to rattle TB12.
Give me the Buccaneers. But I feel like this game should be the Sunday 1 o'clock game, because the Sunday 1 o'clock game is J.K. Dobbins. Yes, I say J.K. Dobbins. And – Baltimore Ravens against the Tennessee Titans. My opinion, the best game on the all of them.
Yeah, that's a nice way to start Sunday. I'm not going to lie.
But give me the Ravens. They're just too hot.
I'm going to say give me the Titans.
And then the stupid Bears don't know how they got in the playoffs. Just, it's funny that some of the teams in the AFC, like the Dolphins and the Raiders, who had clearly better records than the Bears in the football and the football game. But the Bears, fortunately, head down to the Saints all day. Now that old boy Michael Thomas is healthy and ready to play. Give me the Saints.
Yeah, Saints all day. Bears are just happy to be in the playoffs. That's not even gonna be a game, bro. I mean, the big one, in my opinion, this is the game everyone wants to talk about. Sunday night, 8:15, biggest game in Browns history.
Well, let's put it this way. Browns are out. Players, three quarters. Playoff, I don't care if there's fans or not. About playoff time in Pittsburgh. Give me the Steelers big.
I would not be picking the Browns other than for this one reason alone. My former flag football coach, my personal friend, my neighbor, Mike Prefer, he's coaching the biggest Browns game. Like former neighbor, former flag football coach, friend, coaching the biggest game in Browns history just due to COVID. Mr. Prefer's a phenomenal coach. They're going to run some crazy stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if he runs out some trick plays. That's what he used to run in flag football. I think they shocked the world, man. I'm going Browns.
By the way, the last time the Browns were in the Super Bowl, Ohio State won 90 against Miami, a heavily favored Miami. So we kind of need the Browns to lose if you want the Buckeyes to win the national championship.
It's going to be one heck of a weekend of football. Monday's going to be a great day of football. I'm so excited for this weekend, man. It's finally here. I mean, football season's coming to an end, but in an epic way, man. I'm so excited. I mean, Cass, any last words?
Oh, huge guess. I don't know when it's going to be. But huge guest, ready to come on the pod once the football season ends and everything gets settled down. The host of the Morning Juice, Brandon Beam, is going to come on, talk some Buckeyes, talk about the pack this season. Not sure when we're going to get him on, but it's going to be a blast to have Brandon Beam on.
It's going to be a blast. I can't wait, man. I mean, that puts the cherry on top of this epic episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. Hopefully next episode, we'll be talking about how we just won the national championship. But as always, go Bucks.
Wait, hold on. When does Tennessee Jeff leave for Miami? If you get a chance to follow Tennessee Jeff, follow his journey to Miami. Because you know darn well there's better strip clubs in Miami than there is in Louisiana.
That's so true. Oh, my gosh. I mean, if you're going – I know some people attending the game, though. If you're attending the game, enjoy Miami. Get to the beat.
Bring it home.
Get to the club. Be COVID safe, but bring it home. Cheer loud as you can. Cheer like you're – you know, one of the 104,000 people in Ohio Stadium. That's all I ask for.
And if Tennessee Jeff starts the OHIO chant, you finish the OHIO chant.
You finish.
Because Tennessee Jeff. Is he, now that's going to warmer climate, is he going to wear his jeans?
Jorts, I think. Cargo shorts. Cargo shorts, flip-flops, lawn chair. Yep, that's the – he will be wearing rocking that. But, man, I'm just so excited. Like we said before, thanks for listening to another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. And as always, go Bucks.
We love them.